Hello, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Universe of the Soul's Evolution. For this show, I'm going to try to keep everything positive. Always, I try to do that. Although I told you about my situation last week, and I hope you didn't consider that negative news. I'm just telling you what's going on in my life. You know, I'm striving to be like Jesus was, a near-perfect human being. And Jesus was an amazing man. That's incredible to think that he actually walked this earth all those years ago and performed all those miracles. And for me, personally speaking, that is more important than thinking, and you can believe what you want to believe, that he died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross, but in my opinion, that was to show the greatest miracle of all, that is the resurrection. And he told the disciples that he would rise up in 3 days, and he did. It's a very long story, and if you've listened to my show before, I've explained it. And my frame of mind in regards to that is captured in the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or Thayuba, the Golden Planet, or the Thayuba Prophecy. Thayuba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A, is a planet in our Milky Way galaxy that is inhabited by a race of extraterrestrials whom are hermaphrodite. In other words, they're kind of like transgender. They're extremely intelligent, of course. They've been traveling throughout the universe in their spaceships, capable of traveling several times the speed of light. And technologically and spiritually, they're one of the three most advanced in our Milky Way galaxy. And they know some stuff that would seem science fiction to us. For example, you remember the movie Avatar? Well, they're capable of creating any kind of body. And you know the universe is teeming with life. One of the smartest men in the world, Einstein, Albert Einstein, knew that the universe was teeming with life. He said it sometimes because it's really something that only people who have reached higher levels of intelligence and intellect realize that we're not alone and that the universe is teeming with life, and life is not the exception, it's the norm, that the creator of the universe who is out there and is a being that we can't comprehend what he, she, because the creator is both male and female, what he, she looks like. But suffice it to say that if you and I were to behold the glory of the supreme creator of the universe, you know how the Bible says that you can't look in the face of God and continue to live? It's that same kind of wording, if you will, that same principle. Now, and I've mentioned this before, the creator of the universe is not the mother and father God who created our souls and our spirits. On the spirit world, that world of light over there in the distance, where the spirit was born and the soul was born, and where we will return to as spirits of light, we return to the source of light in our solar system. And so, my friends, on my radio show, I talk about spirituality. It's not so much about religion, although I do refer to religion occasionally, because I need to. For me, it's been a stepping stone to where I am today. And if I have to break off here in a few seconds and keep our dog, our new dog, and he's gotten into this barking frenzy now. He might come out, try to get out in the backyard and bark. So if I have to break away for a few seconds, excuse me, because I'm not going to be able to talk with him barking. So back to what I was saying. This show besides talking about spirituality, for me, it's something I look forward to every week. The 55 minutes I get to talk is quite a challenge to be able to keep it up and not have too long pauses in between. It satisfies my need to have that public speaking. So I can tell the dog he's trying to get out right now, but he hasn't figured it out yet. I'm being a little bit distracted. I apologize. All right. Okay, I'm back. He was trying to come out, and he's a big puppy. He's a little over a year old, and he's a little bit out of control. Now, if he was my dog, I think I could control him better. I don't want to be unkind to him, but sometimes, if you know what dogs are like, they jump up and they'll scratch you with their toenails, and it hurts. And they'll also bite. And for me, the best way to control that is to spray him with water. Some people might consider that cruel, but it works. And also stopping them barking. Because dogs are, even though they're amazing animals, they can be stubborn, you know, and want to do things their own way. This dog, Lenny, who we got a few months ago, we found in a dog park here in San Antonio. He's like a big puppy, and he's fully grown, but he's got such a playful nature to him. We came home last night, and he torn down the curtains on the front window. So it's not only me that he has to deal with, but my stepdaughter and all the other people living in this house. But let me change the subject because I don't want to speak anything negative about him. I feel sometimes like God is listening to me. And I've said this before on my radio show, my friends, and since I was talking about the creator of the universe and the mother and father God. Let me go back to that to explain what I meant. The universe was created with the Big Bang, right? All those billions of years ago. When the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another. And part of the plan from the great creator of the universe, the Supreme Spirit, was to have these solar systems to accommodate the life that he, she would create. The Supreme Creator commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created all the suns and the planets and the moons. The second force created the plant and animal life. The third force created all the sentient life. And don't you know it, there are hundreds of thousands of different sentient life beings out there. You've seen some in Star Trek, you know, in the series and in the movies and on Star Wars too, although I don't like that title, Star Wars, but those extraterrestrial beings, from what I have heard, are somewhat accurate in regard to what they actually look like. And of course, there's a lot more than what they've shown. And if you're really interested in knowing what some of them look like, and I've said this before, I recommend you watching Astro Legends TV on YouTube. They've got many great and interesting videos about the extraterrestrial life that they know, not believe, but know exists out there in the universe. And I do enjoy talking about extraterrestrials on my radio show because we do live in a universe where we're evolving our souls. And one life at a time, through that process of reincarnation, we are here. It's like a stage. It's like a school in the University of the Universe. It's a very difficult environment to live here on planet Earth. Hold on just a minute, please. I have to be careful every time I touch the dog that I clean my hands with hand sanitizer because there's a lot of germs. Everyone pats them, you know, and then you touch your dog and then touch your face or your lips, and that those germs can be transferred. Dogs are a different creature than human beings. They don't mind getting into some really bad dirt, you know, digging in the backyard, stepping over their poop, which I have to clean up. No one else cleans up. But anyway, I'm just trying to be real. You know, I can stay positive. I can do it. And going back to, I'm going to take a drink first. These extraterrestrial beings. And another thing, too, there is an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets that are waiting, just waiting for planet Earth to rise up. Like I said, we're here to live our lives, to evolve our souls, to develop spiritually. And we do that by loving instead of hating. You know, it's kind of like black and white, yin and yang, us and them, alpha, omega, love, hate. The choice is yours. You know, the choice is ours. And the object, the goal is to graduate from this existence on someday when we will leave these bodies and just walk through that door. And death, there really is no death in a sense. And I heard that message from Jesus himself, somebody who had a near-death experience. And they saw Jesus, and Jesus said, go back and tell them there is no death. It's just like going through a door, and then you find that you're in your real self. This planet is not our home. We belong to the spirit world, which is out there. I'll let you use your imagination as that world of light, the matrix of our solar system. And not all of us are the same age soul. We have younger souls, you know, some that this might be the first life, although I doubt it here on planet Earth because it's such a hard, difficult learning environment. And I'll say it again. I said it before. You have the Mother Nature. You have Mother Nature that you have to deal with. All the dangers associated with Mother Nature, being struck by lightning, floods, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanoes exploding, wildlife that are higher on the food chain than us, poisonous snakes and insects, especially here in Texas. I've seen six rattlesnakes around our yard over the years. You get bit by one of those rattlesnakes, and that'll ruin your day. It'll ruin your weeks ahead to come. And if you're lucky, you won't be affected too much by it. If you get to the hospital in time and get anti-venom, you'll be okay. But some people, you know, they lose feeling in that particular area that they're bitten at. Same with scorpions. They've got a very powerful sting, you know, and there's been a ton of them around here living in Texas. When we first moved into this house over the years, there's been over 40. No kidding, that I've seen around the house. You step on one of those, and again, they'll ruin your day. It's a very, very powerful sting. And so, not only that, but then there's other dangers associated with living on this planet, like driving down the freeway. How many people die each year? My friends, there's no predicting whether it might be our turn the next time. You know, we're going to drive as safely and as possibly as we can. Most people do. But sometimes it's not our fault, and we get involved with accidents. You go down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, the car next to you spins out of control. There's not much you can do, really. You might be lucky. You might be blessed and avoid it. Your car might flip, start tumbling end over end. The next thing you know, it catches on fire. You're trapped inside and so ends another life. You go to heaven, the spirit world, the spirit realm, you're in the spirit, a spirit of light shining with a light, a certain kind of intensity, and you enjoy the welcome back ceremony. That's where you came from, so you're heading back there. Most people. Now, some people, now, you might not believe in hell, but I'm telling you, I tell you the truth, it is for real. Take that guy that just ran over those people in New Orleans. You think he's going to go up to heaven right away? He was killed, right? You think he's going to go back to heaven and enjoy all those blessings? Not before he goes to God's jail for a little while and has some pretty serious rehabilitation, taking 15 lives and injuring all those people, ruining all those families. There are some demons in hell that are probably taking care of him right now, and I'm not inclined to say a prayer for him to help his case and maybe get him released, kind of like bail. You know, you say prayers for people. They work. It really does work. Your prayers are heard, my friends, especially for the suicides. If you know someone who committed suicide, you can release them from that purgatory. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's like a purgatory. They go there and they spend time. They can't leave. There's no hope. There's no light. There's no love. There's no joy. There's people walking around, lots of people like them who took their own lives, mumbling nonsensically to themselves why they killed themselves and trying to rationalize it, not knowing really their situation, and to spend their time there until one day maybe they spend enough time, just like a jail sentence, or they're released because someone has prayed for them and someone has said something good about them. That's what I believe. There's a book called Beyond the Darkness. If you want to learn about suicides and where they go and the reality of that, I recommend reading that book. Also, 23 Minutes in Hell. That guy that killed those people in New Orleans that took his truck and ran down those people, he must have been drunk. You know, alcohol will make people do crazy things. Just keep that in mind. Not only to mention that the Surgeon General has just come out with a warning that alcohol can cause disease. So, my friends, be careful. Everything in moderation. And if you're considering giving up drinking alcohol or smoking, it would be a good move. The Reverend Blake Ruby recommends it for anybody. Although I can't tell you what to do. You're a co-creator, God in the making. And I understand you like to do things your way, and I do too. And even if it means that you go all the way to your grave drinking, like my parents did, basically my dad, he gave it up the last 5 years of his life. But Mom, she died in a hospice drinking her favorite drink, Harvey's Bristol Cream Sherry. So the day she died, she wanted her little toddy. And at one time I tried to tell her, Mom, if you give up drinking, you know, it might be good for you. And I never thought that my mother could become possessed with a demon like that. And cussed me out, told me what but did I know someone inferior to her age. After all, she'd been through going through World War II and the bombing of London. How dare I suggest that she give up drinking? That's the way it is, how alcohol will grab you. It's been destroying families for thousands of years, my friends. Remember that movie Hang 'Em High with Clint Eastwood? That one guy, he killed his wife when he was drunk. And before he was hung, he got a chance to talk to the crowd that was watching everyone getting hung. They were in a town where the sheriff was the local judge also. And he had like a weekly hanging. All the criminals that he would send his deputies and sheriffs out to apprehend, people that were wanted by the law. If they were caught, he'd bring them back. They'd get a quick trial. They'd get hung. It was like a social event. They would buy liquor, beer, whatever, have snacks, and then they would all watch these people get paraded up onto the gallows, and you read the final words from the Bible, you know, and have a bag put over their head, the noose put over their neck. They would ask them if they have any final words, and that one guy was telling you about, check it out if you're interested on YouTube, Hang 'em High, the preacher, the guy that, let me see, I forget his name. He was an actor, not a well-known actor, but he talked for about 45 seconds about the dangers of alcohol and if it could only have to do over again. He said, once you put that drink to your mouth, the devil has got you. And that's kind of true. There's so many people that are caught, addicted to alcohol, and it would behoove anybody. Although, again, I can't tell you what to do. You've got free will. I'll just know, I know that I saw my parents die from the effects of alcohol. So that gives me kind of authority to talk about this subject. I gave it up in 1988 myself. And in my show, you know, yes, I talk about spirituality, but I also give you tips to help lead a better life. You're not going to advance yourself much spiritually and evolve your soul if you're addicted to alcohol and or tobacco. You know what I'm saying? You co-creator God in the making who is stubborn and won't listen to anyone if you don't want to and like to do things your own way. But do the research yourself. See what the Surgeon General just said about alcohol, the different cancers. Now, it's probably meant for the people who abuse it, you know, that drink too much. I know people over in Europe, especially in Italy, that drink wine with every meal. Even the children do. And I think if it's in moderation, not too much alcohol, you know, you can find alcohol even in pieces of bread or cough syrup, non-alcoholic beer. Like, for example, I've been having a few recently until I think I came to the conclusion, even though it says 0.0 alcohol-free, there's a minute amount of alcohol in Heineken Zero. And I felt my mind kind of getting under the influence of that. And so I've stopped. I don't want to drink anymore. Even though I enjoy the taste. I enjoy the taste. So why am I saying this, my friends? I'm just speaking my mind. You can take it or leave it, believe it or not. You know, I'm only trying to help from what I see. But we have free will. That's one thing Mother and Father God gave us, the creator of the universe gave us, free will to do what we want to do. Whether that means to kill somebody or smoke yourself to death, to take drugs, to be sexually immoral, whatever you want to do, you have that free will. That was the agreement that we made before we were born onto this planet. It's kind of like in the movie Bruce Almighty with Morgan Freeman and Jim Carrey. Morgan Freeman going to take a drink. Morgan Freeman said, there's a couple of things I can't, there's a couple of things that you can't do, he said. And one is, I forget what the other one was. One is you can't encroach upon people's free will. So that says it all, really. And we are all co-creator gods in the making through that process of reincarnation. When that day comes, when we pop out of our physical bodies, because we are spirits in the material world. We are spirits in the material world. The Police, 1981. Listen to that song. It's an amazing song. They were so brave and courageous to come up with that song in 1981 because they were ahead of their time. Even now, you can't talk about things like that. I do on my radio show because I'm 70 years old. I've been through so much. My mother was a mystic. She put me on that path of spiritual development. And now, I don't care what people think. You know, they might say, you can't talk about some things. You can't say that there is a mother God. You can't say that the sun is heaven and there's so many suns out there because there's all kinds of different species out there that are indigenous to their sun and their solar system with different sizes of body, different color skin, different color and shapes of eyes out there, humanoid and gray skin, 5 feet tall, 9 feet tall, wide, square-shaped, with hair like feathers, skin coarse like bark. There's reptilian race. There's a reptilian extraterrestrial race. There's the Greys, there are the Arcturians, there's the extraterrestrials from the Pleiades. There's all those different galaxies out there. The extraterrestrials that crashed in Roswell were from the Large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. They were very interested in humankind inventing the atom bomb in 1945. So that's what they were trying to do, research the effects of the radiation on the air, water, and soil in that area, the Trinity site in that area, Alamogordo, New Mexico. And so those particular extraterrestrials didn't have a lot of experience with the dense atmosphere of our planet compared to theirs. Plus, there was also thunderstorms going on that night, a possibility that their spaceship got hit by bolts of lightning, and they lost control, and they crashed, and bodies were strewn everywhere, and the army and the government recovered that crashed flying saucer and bodies. And at first they said they'd recovered a flying saucer, and then they changed the story to read that it was a balloon, a weather balloon. And then later on they changed it to a top secret mogul balloon, which is used to spy on enemies. No, that's not true. And I say that because the major who was sent out there to pick up all the pieces, Jesse Marcel, he was told to say that it was a weather balloon, but before he died, on his deathbed, now people don't take these kinds of things lightly when they're on their deathbed. They are inclined to tell the truth, and I think you will be too, and so will I. And he came out and said, yes, he was forced to say that indeed they had recovered pieces of a flying saucer. And it's even on the FBI's website. The FBI's website, the most common document that's watched, viewed, is a document from the Army saying that they had recovered a flying saucer and alien bodies. It's right there. The Freedom of Information Act. Open that up, and now it's the number one viewed document on the FBI's website. And that is the truth, my friends. And so in conclusion, they're out there. They are real. And they're waiting for us to join the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, but we're a violent species. Anybody doubt that? I've said this before. There's still a couple of wars going on. Thousands of people getting killed. The Palestinians. The guy gets in his truck on New Year's Eve, people having a good time, partying, not thinking about, can't let your guard down, my friends. Don't let your guard down ever. Not thinking about somebody driving the truck down that little narrow alleyway there at 60 miles an hour, crushing people underneath the wheels of that truck. 15 people lost their lives. And like I said, that guy is probably in hell now. There's a couple of demons there that know just how to handle people like that. Maybe Hitler's still there, who had all those people on his soul, the death of all those people on his soul. Over 6 million Jews, not to mention all the other people that were killed in the war, the people from Germany that he sent to fight, all of those that were killed, the innocent civilians from the bombing. He started it, and so there was many more millions than the 6 million Jews that were killed. That's just a ponderous burden to be on a person's soul, don't you agree? So do you think could ever be forgiveness for someone like Hitler? I say yes. They do their time, because if you're a mother or a father, I'm going to take a drink, and you have children, and you love your children, right? And they get into trouble. They disobey you, or they make a mistake, get in trouble with the law, do something terrible. Are you going to stop loving them? I don't think not. I think not. I think that you would keep loving them. It's the same thing with our mother and father God, who created our souls and our spirits. And yes, we have a soul and a spirit, my friends. The soul is the brain of the spirit. Your spirit will pop out of your body, either through your chest or the top of your head when you die. Usually those are the two most common places. It's all there in my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, in the Amazon Kindle bookstore for free if you're interested. If you're interested. And those demons, that's what they do. Everything is made by the Creator. There's not one single thing, and the Bible says that too. Not one single thing was created that wasn't created by the Creator. And that includes demons, Archangel Lucifer was in charge of the demons, and God's jail, hell. And it's like a rehabilitation. Don't you think that guy that just ran over those people, killed 15 people, needs some serious rehabilitation? Something like that is pretty evil, don't you think, for lack of a better word? And they need to be rehabilitated to the core of their being so that they won't do something like that again. Right? Unless you think, oh, there is no hell, that they can just go right straight to heaven. No. The law of the universe says if you make a mistake, you have to pay the penalty. That is the law of the universe. So let's say a civilization gets into a nuclear war with another civilization on that planet, and they wipe each other out except for a few people that survive. Radiation destroys all the plant and animal life except for the fish in the sea. And even that fish and crustaceans in the ocean is still tainted by radiation, and they eat that fish and that seafood, and it causes birth defects, and that radiation and those birth defects will last several centuries until things start getting back to normal on the planet. And usually there are those extraterrestrials that I talked about earlier who have guardianship over our planet. They would help to get the planet back up to speed, so to speak. They would bring animal life and oversee the spreading of it throughout the planet, and also they would start growing plant life as well, and maybe some animal life that might have been mutated by the radiation, like ants, maybe that would grow to about the size of cows and could kill people with their mandibles, you know, or cut them in half. Praying mantises, which would feed on human beings, like, you know how they eat? They grasp it with their two hands, and they'd just chew. They could eat up a human body in a few seconds. They would have been mutated by the radiation, and other insects as well, and animals too. All around, I mean, in the ocean. So in other words, some insects would survive the radiation, other animals would be destroyed. And what's the word I'm thinking of? Replanted, you know, animal and plant life, these extraterrestrials would do that because there are planets that have had that scenario happen in their past. They couldn't get along with each other. They couldn't resolve their differences diplomatically because they didn't have the intellect to. So they ultimately did the worst thing possible, taking a drink, and that was destroy themselves. It's true. I'm telling you, my friends, there are other planets throughout the universe that have been through that scenario, and we don't want to go through that situation. We don't want to die, for one thing. We have a lot of nuclear weapons in the world. The United States, Soviet Union, other countries. It's understandable, you know, that everyone would have one, because it's like you're in a neighborhood living in a house, and you know that everyone in the neighborhood has a gun. If you don't have a gun, then you're at a disadvantage. It's the same kind of principle. Therefore, I think it's all right for any country to have a nuclear weapon, because Otherwise, they can get wiped out by us, and that's not fair. Did I make that sound okay? Take, for example, a country like Iran. If they don't have a nuclear weapon, I believe they do, because when the Soviet Union used to be in existence, before they broke up, they had many, many nuclear weapons. And when they did break up, I knew that they were short on money. I know that they were short on money. And so I think my instincts tell me that they sold some of those nuclear weapons, because they're, you can make, you know, millions of dollars selling nuclear weapons, especially when you have a whole lot of them, you know, to a country like Iran or North Korea or Iraq, you know. They could be hidden and you can't find them. But let me get off that subject and talk about, well, on the same kind of subject, these extraterrestrials that are out there. I mentioned before that they can make bodies, any kind of body, like an avatar, you know, and then they have the technology where then you can slip your spirit or your astral body into that body and then operate it, like drive it around, you know, function perfectly normally and naturally in that body, like an avatar. So these people there on that planet, they're elders, if you will, the ones that have the most knowledge of things, the ones who are the most wisest, the most experienced, they can create these bodies in just a matter of hours because they know how. It's a process. It's complicated, but they have the knowledge. And they've been given guardianship. They've been given guardianship of our planet. And they have been watching over us for thousands of years. When Moses left Egypt with the Hebrews, they parted the Red Sea with their spacecraft from up above, a very simple form of technology known as a tractor beam. Beam technology involves many different aspects, different kinds of beams that are not only able to transmit human beings, you know, like in Star Trek, disassembling the molecules and reassembling them in another location, but also beams that can lift up huge chunks of rock, like when they created the pyramids back all those years ago, thousands of years ago. You honestly think that they were created with manpower and logs and rope, 600 feet high, and each of those stones weighing like about 50 tons each? No, that is illogical. To think like that is illogical. The obvious answer is that they had contact with extraterrestrials who had anti-gravity technology. Anti-gravity/electromagnetic technology. And there are a variety of different beams that can be used for different reasons. So parting the Red Sea was no big deal for them because they've been in existence for millions of years longer than we have. Even before our solar system was created, they existed. And as I mentioned, we're a very violent species. They don't want that scenario like in The Day the Earth Stood Still, where they come to visit us in right public view in front of everybody and land their spacecraft. And the next thing you would know is they would be surrounded by the Army, the National Guard, the police, everyone with their weapons drawn, with their hearts beating out of their chests almost, terrified. And all it would take would be one itchy trigger finger. And why wouldn't they want to react? Try to be friendly and someone wants to kill you? How do you react? You fire back or you leave and say never again, right? I see up there in the sky, it looks like a star, but I think it's Venus. Sometimes, my friends, I don't know about you, but I get these flashes of light out there. And I'm very familiar with what an airplane, a commercial airliner, looks like when flying by overhead. I even know what a satellite looks like. And sometimes I see flashes of light coming from nowhere, and then I look where it came from, and there's nothing there. There's no jet. There's nothing. And so I think I'm in contact with extraterrestrials, although it could be also angels. Angels exist, and they're there in the spirit world, heaven, if you will. When we return there, it'll be a remembering. You will see all the angels, and it's like, hey, this was just like yesterday since I was here. How you doing? All these beautiful angels that you probably run up to and kiss and hug. And they're servants of the Mother and Father God. They don't rebel. They never have rebelled. They've been created by the Mother and Father God. They're not man-made. They're not subject to the imagination of people who lived 2,000 years ago or more regarding, well, the angels rebelled and they came out of heaven. How did they know that? Who told them that? Who told them that? Who was the first person to say that? Who was the first person to think that? The truth is, my friends, and we're all seeking the truth, right? Angels were created perfectly. There was no mistakes made. There were no mistakes made. There's servants. There's different types of them, too. There's archangels, there's cherubims, there's seraphims, there's virtues, there's principalities, there's dominions, there's regular angels. And they all work for God. Even Archangel Lucifer was created by our Mother and Father God, or, I'm not sure, the creator of the universe. And they do the biting of our Mother and Father God. They have very important missions, some of them, not only to bring us here to planet Earth when we're about to be born, bring us from that world of light all the way down to the clouds over the house that we're going to be born into, bring us down into the room where our mothers are, give us a little push, and our spirits go inside the womb of our mothers. And did you know, as a baby inside the womb of our mothers, that we can look through her eyes? Yes, we can. And it would behoove any mother not to drink or smoke and to only eat nutritious food when they have a baby. You know, excuse me for telling you what to do, but there are some things you don't know. And if a mother, say, smokes when she's pregnant or drinks or doesn't eat the right kind of nutritious foods, they're doing their baby an injustice. And they're all about the rights of the babies. For those who are concerned with the rights of babies and who are pro-life, and if you're not pro-life, you're anti-life. That's logical, right? What's the opposite of pro-life? Anti-life. I understand pro-choice, but it's not, it's just semantics. If you're not pro-life, you're anti-life. I understand that women are going through a situation now where they're looking for and striving for their equality. And I'm all for that. But the rights of women are different than the rights of babies, because babies are separate beings. We are all separate. We are spirits, individual spirits and souls. Yes, you are born of your mother and your father, but that doesn't mean you belong to them. It really doesn't. You are a separate entity. That's why people, when they're young, like I did when I was young, I could hardly wait to move away from home because I was tired of getting told what to do. I love my parents, but I wanted to do things my way. So that's the truth. That is the truth. That's a fact, my friends. We are all separate entities, even though we're born of our mothers and our fathers. And more than likely, when we existed in the spirit realm, in the pre-existence, that we were soul friends. that we knew each other, and we made a pact, an agreement to come to Earth and to be a mother or be a son or a daughter or a father or a friend. I can see some people on TV, and I know that I know their souls. I mean, I've never met them, but I know them. Beyonce, I think, is one, is a soul friend to me. She's a billionaire now and doesn't know who Blake Ruby is. And if I ever did meet her, she probably wouldn't agree with me. But she's just one example of many people that I've met. I say to myself, I know them. My soul knows them. Because we existed before we were born. And we just can't remember. We went through that river of oblivion where we were made to forget. We were all made to forget here. But love is the answer, my friends. We don't want to get into a war. We don't want any more killing. We don't want these active shooters or people running down people with their trucks. Or similar situations. Why can't we love? I mean, there's too many people causing too many problems and not enough love to go around. There's a song that said that. But isn't that the truth? Not enough love to go around. How can you have love? Well, you can ask for it. Establish your relationship with the Creator and the Mother and Father God. Prayers are heard. I guarantee you, my friends, I tell you the truth. Every prayer that you pray is heard. Now, some have a different intensity than others. Mothers praying for the children and their lives have like the utmost kind of intensity that these prayers, these lights shoot straight up into the sky towards heaven, and they're bright. But all prayers are answered. There's a room in heaven where the prayers go to. Every prayer is being monitored. Every single prayer, I guarantee you. And every second of your life, my friends, every second. And I tell you this as the absolute, absolute truth. Every second is being recorded by heavenly computers. Where do you think we got the idea of computer? Maybe you can't compare earthly computers to what they have there in heaven, but it's similar. You have to understand the similarity between them. And every second is being recorded. And so when you do pass away into the spirit realm, and you have your life review, you will see everything that you experienced from when you were a baby all the way up until the point when you died. I guarantee that's the truth. I'm going to take a drink. And the extraterrestrials, wouldn't that be great if we could become? I'm going to take a drink. There's some smoke in the air. I think somebody's having a barbecue, maybe. Wouldn't it be great if we could join the Intergalactic Federation of planets, all those other planets, all beings? That is ultimate next step in our evolution, my friends. Are you brave enough? Are you courageous enough to look and trust your being who is the creation of the Creator in the eye and not freak out and have that thousand stare, deer in headlights, kind of look? Are you smart enough? Are you brave enough? Because if you make contact with them, things would change. All of our petty conflicts would disappear. We could become star travelers. They would share their technology with us. We could be exploring solar systems that we only dreamt about or saw on TV, like in Star Trek. I mean, really, really exploring solar systems. Because right now our propulsion systems are primitive, you know, compared to theirs. They can travel several times the speed of light and go interdimensional and travel millions of light years in just minutes, you know. And not only that, but they can tell us what we're doing wrong. They could help us cure diseases. Imagine that. No more cancer. No more heart disease. No more diabetes. They would say, okay. Easy. That's what you. This is what you're doing wrong. All you need to do is stop it. This is what you need to do to get better. Start an exercise routine. Drink enough water every day. You can do it. But too often people conform to the norm they don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be, you know, have people look at them and feel alienated. But my friends, you have to walk alone in this earth because you're going to die alone. You're going to be buried alone. Don't care what people think. If they don't have your best interest in mind, if they don't have any love towards you, disregard what they think. You don't need them. Look out for number one, you. You are a co-creator God in the making. You are a powerful spirit. Everybody is a powerful spirit worthy of dignity and respect. Don't let that get away from you. Don't forget that, please. You are so highly valued and unconditionally loved by the Mother and Father God, and all heaven knows who you are. The creator of the universe knows everything, is omniscient and omnipotent. Imagine that. Knows everything and has ultimate power, can do anything. If you believe that the creator of the universe is omnipotent and omniscient, right, then it should be easy to understand that the universe is teeming with life, that the creator is a creator of bodies. Think of all the life here on earth, all the thousands of different varieties of insects, of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, all the birds and reptiles and amphibians and mammals. The creator is a creator of bodies. And think of all those other sentient beings, third force of the universe, the sentient life elsewhere, all the different humanoid types and different color eyes and shapes of eyes, big eyes, small eyes, round eyes, different kinds of skin, humanoid, most of them, of different sizes and shapes, all out there. And with some who are incredibly, amazingly intelligent, who know how to traverse the universe in their spaceships in just a short amount of time, which is more than we can do. And they're out there. They're waiting for us. They know all about us. They know about me. Maybe when we're sleeping at night, they'll fly overhead, cloaked, invisible, because they have that technology, just like the Klingon spaceships in Star Trek. And they'll fly overhead and they'll look down and say, hey, there's an advanced soul. You know, that guy is a good guy. Or you might be an intermediate soul, somewhere in between, maybe only a few past lives under your belt, so to speak. As I mentioned before, I don't think there are any young or beginner souls here on planet Earth. It's too hard of an environment here. This is a very difficult school of learning. Don't be so hard on yourself. Know that this is a very tough place to live. And we're surviving. Every day that we survive is a win. It's a victory. And love is the key. And how do you have love, my friends? Love for everybody? How do you love everybody? Like Jesus said, love thy neighbor. I'm going to tell you how. Will you forget this or are you going to remember this? Pray. You have to be a prayer warrior. If you want to save the world, you want to save the world, we need to be saved. We've got too many violent stuff going on. I mean, it could be tomorrow, you know. There's no guarantee that tomorrow will be here for us. We have that potential to destroy ourselves. I find it hard to even say that, my friends. I just saw something in the sky. It's hard to even talk about the subject. And I don't want to say something that might start something like that, you know. But prayer is the key, especially when you have a lot of people together. You can prevent wars. You can save people. You can help people to heal. Your prayers are being heard. Are you strong enough? Are you brave enough and courageous enough to say prayers like me? I say prayers all the time. I'm lucky to be alive, my friends, but for the grace of the Mother and Father God, I'm alive here. Seriously, we all could not be here. We've all gone through close calls in our lives, right? Whether in a car or some other situation. I was watching a guy on TV today. He was nearly electrocuted to death, and he had a near-death experience. There's so many different ways it can happen. Love is the key. And know the Creator is out there. You can talk to the Creator. All you got to do is say a prayer like, how am I doing on time? Creator of the universe. Got it. 1 minute. The Creator of the universe. How great you are. You're an amazing Creator. This whole situation is incredible that we're a part of. You created everything. There's nothing that wasn't created that you didn't create. Thank you. Thank you for our lives. Please watch over us and protect us here on earth. Guide us. Keep us safe and well, please. We love you. Thank you for loving us, each and every one of us, unconditionally. We are your children. Thank you for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.